Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 84th voyage. I'm the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Bulla.
So for those of you who don't know, what we do here is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week, and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
Is it even worth me asking what the language of the week was, Alan?
Whatever they speak in Fiji.
Oh, Fijian.
Is that a language?
I don't know, but...
That's why I didn't say that.
If I were to take an educated guess, similar to Spain, Spanish, England, English...
In Canada, we speak English.
True. And in Brazil, they speak Portuguese. Don't make that mistake, Alan.
I will not.
How was your week?
Good. Good. I feel like I just talked to you yesterday, so...
We did not. You wish. You're like, I did. No, nothing new. This is going to be the shortest session.
Nothing new since Friday.
Well, I'm sorry I'm traveling this week, Alan, so we have to record. We recorded late last week and early this week, so really there's only like 4 days between our record sessions.
Yes. So literally nothing has happened. I didn't even work those 4 days.
Oh, well. I also didn't have much happening this week.
Oh.
No, I felt very full of testosterone today, like super manly.
Was it the injections?
No, not this week. But we had an 18-month-old, one of my wife's employees came over for dinner.
One of your wife's employees is 18 months
old? No, they have an 18-month-old, and she's a single mom. And so this 18-month-old, it doesn't play well with men. It doesn't at all. Like, this boy does not know how to deal with men, and... So he saw me and immediately started crying. And she's like, oh, it's just because you're a man and he doesn't know how to be around you. I'm like, he recognizes I'm a man. He gets
one
it.
Of us.
I'm a big, scary man.
Could have just been your face.
I thought this week would be a good week to have another... Lessons in Love. So last time we had a Lessons in Love, we talked about my first kiss.
Yes, on the cruise with the stalker.
And I thought I'd jump ahead this time, because now we're actually getting into times where there were relationships, and that just gets messy, and so I figured let's skip over those.
Relationships are the worst.
Surprise, there were some bad initial relationships. So now we flash forward a couple years, probably 3 years, to my sophomore year of university, and I'm on the basketball team.
Of course, naturally, you're very talented.
And there's another girl on a basketball team.
Same team.
And there's a girl on the girls' version of our basketball team. That's such a weird way to say it. There's a girl I like on the women's team at my university. There, that's a better way to say it.
Took 3 tries, but you got there.
Yes, and... She is best friends with a girl who's really into my best friend.
Oh.
And so he's seeing her a lot. I'm having him put in a good word for her. Ironically, they didn't end up getting together, and she left him and ended up marrying an NHL goaltender. So she's doing all right for herself. But I digress. So I don't really know. I haven't had much success with the ladies in my 2 years of university so far. I guess we can do 2 Lessons in Love today, because there's a really quick Lessons in Love from my freshman
doubleheader.
From my freshman year, where we were at a little get-together in someone's dorm room. And
this
there was
unrelated to the basketball thing?
Yes. This is freshman year. Basketball thing is sophomore year. So freshman year, little get-together in the dorm, and there's this girl who I just think is super fine, smoking hot. And
super fine.
I get full of confidence because I never really had issues talking to ladies. Now, getting them to talk back
to
me.
You've never had issues talking to anyone.
Getting them to talk back to me, different story. So anyway, so I spent my whole time macking on this girl, trying to get her to get my vibe. And then at the end of the day, I finally was like, so when are you going to let me take you out? What's happening? And she's a junior, remember, and I'm just a freshman. So 2 years my senior.
Bold.
She looked at me and she goes... You smell like Axe. Real men don't smell like Axe. Real men use cologne. And I was like, what? Our dad never uses cologne, so that was never anything I thought to use. So I was like, well, if this hottie says I need cologne...
Is this the reason you've worn cologne? Like, have you worn cologne ever since then?
Oh, literally, I left that party, got to Giant Tiger right before it closed.
Nice.
Went to their cologne section and bought my first
cologne.
My first ever cologne. The OC, the official cologne of the TV show.
Oh, nice. That's how you know it's good. It smells like TV.
And then... A week later or so, I ran into her, and I was like, what do you think? I wear cologne now. She's like, oh, that's not bad. What cologne is that? And I was like, it's the OC, the official cologne of the TV show. And she laughed in my face and never talked to me again. But I have not given up on the cologne thing.
No, you still rock the cologne thing.
And I still have, I have very specific rules. I buy one bottle, and then once it's out, I don't return to that scent again. You got to keep the people guessing. As to what you smell like. So,
yes.
Now my wife is in charge of that. Every time I run out, she goes and picks me a new one that she likes.
Nice. Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
You should get your son to pick them out for you.
I feel like there'd be a lot of, like, does Paw Patrol have a cologne?
This is the official scent of Paw Patrol. It smells like wet dog.
So now we jump forward another year, and now we're back to the original story. So my buddy's seeing this girl who ends up becoming a millionaire. Yes. And then... I want to get with her friend.
Of course.
And so my buddy, after weeks of me being like, yeah, you should talk about her with me, blah, blah. He's like, are you going to ask her out or no? And I'm like, oh, I'm not ready, blah, blah. And so he goes across the library and goes and is like, yeah, just so you know, Holt likes you. Like, he wants to take you out.
Great wingman move.
So she comes over and I'm like, oh, frick, did this actually work? Did this actually work? Am I about to have romance? And she sits down and she's like, so he told me you want to date me. She's like, I'm not interested. But she's like, all the guys on the hockey team are trying to ask me out and get with me. And it's just getting so annoying. So how about you and I just pretend to be boyfriend and girlfriend so that they stop asking me out?
Oh, and?
Well, my 19-year-old brain said, well, this seems like a way in. This seems like something that would make sense. We pretend to be boyfriend and girlfriend, play a ruse on campus.
Yes, and then secretly
and then
become...
She'll eventually fall in love with me. That
makes sense. It's a movie.
No, it lasted a week until I realized she really wasn't into me, and then I gave her an ultimatum, and surprise, she chose to be single.
Turns out, ultimatums generally go over well.
So, what could you learn from these two lessons in love?
Don't wear the OC cologne.
I smell like Adam Brody.
You will have your face laughed in. oh, I don't know the second one.
Pretend
don't.
Relationships never work.
Oh, yes.
They have about the same success rate as long-distance relationships.
Also, ba-dooch. All of my relationships.
So what we do in this segment is I tell Alan some fascinating facts about our world. The strawberry is not actually a berry, Alan.
What makes something a berry?
Botanists call the strawberry a false fruit, a pseudocarp. A strawberry is actually a multiple fruit which consists of many tiny individual fruits embedded in a fleshy receptacle.
Fleshy receptacle.
Also sounds weirdly sexual. Let me see your fleshy receptacle.
Oh, you
do
want
I
my
need
strawberry?
To grab my spectacles.
So stupid.
But sexy. That's a sexy song. If Drake was singing that, if that was on Drake's new album, ooh.
You'd make so much money.
The banana is a berry, Alan.
Well, that's confusing.
Bananas develop from a flower with a single ovary. They also have a soft skin, fleshy middle, and small seeds. As such, they meet all the botanical requirements of a berry, and therefore can be considered both a fruit and a berry.
Seems like a weird distinction.
The single ovary thing is interesting. I didn't need to know that, like, fruits and flowers had ovaries.
You didn't take botany class?
That's too much. I barely like to know that female humans have ovaries. I'm already uncomfortable enough. Ironically, though, the banana comes from an ovary, just like humans. See, because we're boys, and the banana is like a wiener, and then...
I got it. Okay. Peaches. But for those who didn't, thank you.
Peaches are members of the almond family.
Well, that sounds just stupid. It's not a nut at all.
Lettuce is a member of the sunflower family.
Well, who cares about lettuce? I'm worried about peaches. Does that mean if you're allergic to nuts, you're allergic to peaches?
I don't know. You're allergic to eggs. Are you allergic to every egg or just chicken eggs? Like, if
I've always assumed every egg.
So if I buy an ostrich egg, would you
want... I would not try it. If you bought a dinosaur egg...
What if we had an ostrich egg and then you tried it? With a doctor present.
Doesn't seem worth risking my life.
I guess, because it's not like you would run into... it's not like you could replace it with the ostrich eggs. First, ostrich eggs are ginormous. Second, what, are you going to start baking with ostrich eggs now? So you have to make like 100 muffins at a time?
I'm going to make the world's biggest cake.
I did go to a petting zoo this week. I forgot to mention that during my thing. That was awesome. I didn't think petting zoos would be cool. They are so cool. I fed little bunnies. I fed some chickens. I fed an alpaca.
Ooh.
Yeah, the alpacas.
Ostriches?
There was emus. There was little baby emus, and they are crazy. They have no idea what's happening, and they just run back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then the alpacas are beautiful, but man, they look like they need braces. Their whole body, teeth are like way out here like this. Oh, and then I saw a pig literally rolling around in a pile of mud. Hilarious. And then the baby goat jumped on my wife's lap and like started cuddling her.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it was very cute. Shakespeare's grave is cursed.
Like, is it haunted? Does the ghost Shakespeare follow people around?
His grave
speaking
is...
Speaking in weird English?
His grave doesn't have his name on it, but in his day, it was common for bodies to be pulled up or exhumed for research purposes, or just to make room for more burials. So basically like, oh, you died long enough ago, let's move these bones out and put a fresh body in here.
Sure.
So to prevent people from doing that, it is believed that he coined this poem, I guess. Good friend, for Jesus' sake forbear to dig the dust enclosed here. Blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones. It wasn't right.
My bones.
It's actually my bones, but I wanted it to sound piratey.
Oh, that did make it sound more piratey.
But actually, people like have respected that. In 2008, they were upgrading and repairing the grave, and workers went out of their way to not touch any of the stones or the bones.
Why would you need to update a grave? Like, it's not like...
It's Shakespeare's grave, so it's obviously like a tourist site, so they need to keep it up.
I guess.
Cookie Monster is not Cookie Monster's actual name.
I refuse to believe that.
His actual name is Sid.
I don't believe you.
In a 2004 song, Sid revealed this fact, explaining that he was given the name Cookie Monster after trying his first one. So basically, once he became hooked on cookies, people started calling him Cookie Monster. It'd be like if you see a crackhead and be like, hey, Crack Monster! Hey, there's Crack Monster! My name is Pete! No, it isn't! You're Crack Monster! We're still going to invite you to all the neighborhood events, but... You're Crack Monster from now on. I do a good Cookie Monster
impression. You do. Your Cookie Monster impression is right up there with your Scottish impression. And your
Cookie Monster want cookies!
So good.
Sounds just like Sid.
I assume that's exactly what Sid sounds like.
This one isn't more a fact for you. You'll probably know this. This is more for our international listeners. Did you know, Alan, that Canadian law requires citizens to answer a math question when entering a sweepstakes?
I did. I mean, I've entered sweepstakes and I've had to do math problems.
Yeah, you have to do the math question. So this comes down to the rules governing lotteries. Lotteries have three major components. The prizes have to have value, the sponsor benefits from the sweepstakes financially, and the winner is chosen at random. To avoid being an illegal private lottery, one of these three components must be removed. So if you don't put in one of those three, it is a legal sweepstakes. If you have all those three, it's an illegal lottery.
Okay.
Unless you get like a lottery license or whatever. In the United States, the sponsor, i.e. the person putting the sweepstakes on, usually removes the financial business benefit, also known as consideration, to avoid being considered an illegal lottery. That's why most sweepstakes say, no purchase necessary, see form for details or whatever, right? Because sure. That's saying, you don't have to pay us to enter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is done in most parts of the world. However, in Canadian sweepstakes law, they actually wrote into law that you don't have to remove that part. What you have to remove is the chosen at random part. I don't know why they did that, but basically it's saying a giveaway cannot use pure luck to determine who wins. You have to have it even states like a math problem with four elements, and it has to be answered within 5 minutes. Something like that. Like, it's really specific.
That's why it's never like... Nobody who's won a sweepstakes has ever timed themselves doing the math problem.
Well, that's why it's never like... The math problem is never 1 plus 1 equals, right? It's like 1 plus bracket 1 plus 1 bracket times 2 equals, and then it's like 4? Yes. That better be right, or I'm going to look so stupid.
I'm pretty sure it's 5.
No. 1 plus 1 plus 1... No, it's actually 6. 1 plus 1 plus 1, so that's 1 plus 2 times 2. Oh, Bedmas, you're right. Stupid Bedmas!
I'm good at math.
So it's 1 plus 1 plus 2 times 2 is 4. 1 plus 4 is 5. Ugh. I would not have won that sweepstakes, and I made the question.
And it was all with ones.
Humans cannot walk in a straight line without a visual point.
So if you close your eyes, you'll just randomly wander?
You will gradually begin to walk in a circle.
Really?
Apparently.
How big of a circle?
I don't know, but it's hilarious.
Okay, now I just want to get a bunch of people in an open field and have them all close their eyes and walk until they hit each other.
Cows produce more milk when they listen to music.
What kind of music?
Well, this is one of those facts that is like, duh, and it's not actually about the music. It's fact one, cows like listening to music. Fact two, happy cows produce more milk. So therefore combined. And it's like, yeah, of course. It's just like anyone. If you have a happy spouse, you're going to have a better life. If you're happy in your job, you're going to produce better work.
It's just like anyone. If you have a happy spouse, you'll make more milk.
I don't know. Would that work for a lady? If a lady's breastfeeding, does she make more milk when she's happy? Probably.
Couldn't tell you.
I think, without a doubt.
You would likely have more experience with that than I would.
And finally, Major League Baseballs have a lifespan.
Like the actual baseballs themselves?
This is another one that is true, but also, oh, that's not really true. So the average lifespan of a baseball in a major league game is only 7 pitches.
Hmm.
But I know what you're thinking. Does this mean the ball explodes after 7 pitches? No. According to major league rules, if the ball is hit or touches the ground at all, it can no longer be used. And they just put it in a bag and send it to the minor leagues.
What? So they only... if... the ball hits the ground at all, it can't be used?
Yeah, if it gets any dirt on it.
So they go through a million balls a game.
Yeah, pretty much.
So wasteful.
I mean, if you think about it, if the average lifespan is 7 pitches, and if a pitcher pitches a complete game, he's probably at, like, what? 125 pitches? So you're looking at, like, what's that? 18 balls per team per game? So close. So 36 ish balls a game they go through.
It's a lot considering how many games they have.
This week, Alan, I got my tax return. That got me thinking people make really poor choices when they get their tax money back and make bad purchases. So I thought we should count down our 3 worst purchases of our lifetime. What is your 3rd worst purchase ever, Alan?
Well, I usually use my tax money on useful things like paying off debt. So This is mostly just poor decisions I've made.
You're so responsible.
I try to be. These are the stupidest things that I purchased, I guess, but I'm doing them in order of how much it costs me versus how much I used it, I think. So my third ranked one, which I think you may have expected to be on my list, is the time I bought $20 worth of jelly beans.
Yes, that's the only one I could think of, because you're much better with your money than I am. At least you were until I married a financial advisor. Now I'm
good. Now it's comparable.
Yeah. I do still call you when I want to buy something ridiculous, though.
Yes. There's a story behind this.
We were on Balboa Island in California.
We were on Balboa Island, and we were at a candy store. I was like 12, and they had one of those machines where you could like pull the lever and out of it would pour jelly beans. They had these bags beside it, and there was a sign that said, I don't know, I'm going to make up numbers that don't make any sense given the context.
I think it was like $2.50 for whatever,
like
a couple 100 ounces or whatever. The issue is it's a state, so it wouldn't have been in grams. But anyway, it was X per weight.
Yes, X per weight. And they had one size of bag. So me, being 12 and not knowing American weights, assumed, oh, this bag must fit that amount. So I filled it right to the tippy top. So then I brought the bag up to the front, and the person weighed it and said, that'll be $23. And I said, no, it's that amount.
Because you tried to put it back, didn't you?
Well, so I think it was like we had like $30. So it was like majority of the money I had. I was like, oh, well, I don't want that much jelly beans, obviously. I'm not a crazy person. So I turned to my parents. I was like, hey, do I need to buy this? And they're like, yes, you do. And then they made me buy this. And then afterwards, everybody in the family has made fun of me about this for literally years, even to the point of our parents being like, why didn't you just put it back? Because you said I couldn't.
I was 12. You were my parents. I was looking at you for sage advice.
Yes, exactly.
My number three is when I bought my PS3.
Mm.
So when the PS3 released, I'm pretty sure it retailed for like
$800?
No, I think it was like $500. Five or six in terms of like where you would get it if you were in a city at retail. Well, yeah. I was graduating high school and we were living in, hard to believe, even more Arctic than we are now, like a very, very remote place in the Northwest Territories. And they brought in a PS3. And I was like, well, I'm going to university. I want to make a statement. It's my chance to reinvent myself. I'll have the PS3 and everyone will be jealous.
I'm going to be the kid with the PlayStation 3. That's who I want to be.
Everyone will be jealous. It'll be awesome. What I didn't know is because of our location, they marked up the PlayStation to like over $1,000. And that didn't deter me. I spent all my grad money on getting that PS3. And don't get me wrong, it was a nice PS3, but I spent $1,000 on it, and I ended up having to go through, I think I ended up going through three PS3s in my lifetime, because that one was a first generation, and it wore out within like 2 years. You remember? It like just died, and I had to take it all apart, and then I couldn't get it back together. What is your number two, Alan?
So my number two, you and I decided that we wanted to start writing music.
Yes. Oh, you still own this, don't you?
I do. I don't know how I had the money for this. I must have been working at the time. But in all of our intelligence combined, apparently, I decided it would be a good idea to buy a guitar. And not just any guitar. I decided I needed to buy a $500 guitar.
And you have no idea how to play guitar to this day.
To this day, I don't even know how to tune a guitar, let alone play a guitar. I have attempted to a couple of times, and I've learned my fingers don't bend the way guitar players need their fingers to bend.
My number two is, it could have been any number of things, right? Like, as I was learning...
You do make so many
poor decisions. But as I was learning to flip my sports cards, you obviously make some poor investments. Luckily, I didn't make too many. The ones I made the worst investments on were the ones I wanted to keep myself. This one I didn't invest too much in, but it was a how long I invested versus how long I kept it one. We were in Fargo, North Dakota, and we were finishing up a lovely brother's road trip, and we went to the mall there, and there was a sports card store there. And going through the sports cards, I found a Michael Jordan baseball rookie card. I mean, he played baseball for one year, so every baseball Michael Jordan card is a rookie card. But I had never seen one before, and I'm like, oh, I gotta buy this. So I bought it. I spent like $10 on it.
$10.
I was all excited. I was like, this thing's gonna be awesome. And then I get to the Canadian border the next day, and it hits me. You left it on the coffee table in the hotel room. So I had it from like 5 o'clock one day till 8 o'clock the next morning. What is your number one worst purchase, Alan?
Number one.
My number one worst purchase is not particularly exciting, but it did cost me a lot of money and never got used a single time. And that was all of the textbooks I bought in university. I spent probably between my 4 years close to $2,000 on textbooks or something like that. And they just sat on the bottom of my shelf for 4 years. Plus another three since I graduated, and then when I moved, I threw them out because I didn't want them anymore, and they were just taking up space.
My number one worst purchase is my truck.
Oh, the big white jacked up one that you had?
When I left university, you guys were still living in Northwest Territories, High Arctic, so I couldn't...
Yep.
My dad convinced me I couldn't bring my little tiny Grand Am. I needed a big man truck to deal with the winters up there. I didn't.
Well, yeah, because you had to change who you were going to university. So you needed a big jacked up truck and a PlayStation 3, obviously.
I got the truck after university.
Did you?
Yeah. I had my little tiny Grand Am. You don't remember that thing?
Oh, right, because you got it stuck in the bridge.
Spoiler. Yeah, I got it stuck. That's how remote our town was. If you've ever seen Ice Road Truckers, you had to cross an ice road to get to our town.
And you crossed it while it was thawing and got stuck.
Yeah, and it was thawing, and my car didn't have enough clearance, so it just floated. And
right. You're right.
Anyway, so I spent like $20,000 on this 5-year-old truck. It had a 6-inch lift kit. It had spaced out wheels, full leather, all that. I thought I was a baller. And then I moved to Alberta. No, I moved. We took that truck on our road trip we just talked about. So I brought it down.
Oh, we must have, yeah.
Yep. I brought it to get work done on it. That cost me like $7,000. I paid the $7,000 to get it all tuned up so we can go on the road trip. Went on the road trip. 3 months later, I moved from Northwest Territories to Alberta. And to get registered in a new province, I'm sure it's the same in the States when you go state to state, you have to get it like approved by the local mechanic. What a racket that is. So I bring it in. Remember, it's been 3 months since it got tuned up for $7,000.
In Alberta.
And these guys tell me I owe them $11,000 to get it approved for Alberta roads. So then I pay $11,000 for that. Then my first winter in Alberta, my 4x goes out.
Oh, which is not good. When
so
you
then
have...
I had to go a whole winter because I couldn't afford, after paying $18,000 previously, I couldn't afford to... fix it so I would slide through everything. Like, I was super dangerous that winter. Our great-grandmother died and left me the $4,000 necessary to fix that. So I ended up paying for that way. And it was to the point where when I went to see my wife for the first time, way before we were dating and she was doing my financial advice, she looked at my books and went, "You need to get rid of this truck. It is bankrupting you." Well, we are just about to dock and end this week's episode. Before we do, remind you, check us out on Instagram at RandomShipThePodcast. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know to listen to us and join the Random Ship crew. Alan, before we go, give the people what they want. What is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... The largest cargo ship in the world is the Boca Vanguard. It is 70% larger than any other comparable ship, with a 275-meter by 70-meter deck that is entirely flat and used to store cargo. The deck can be lowered below the surface in order to capture floating cargo, including things like capsized vessels, so other crashed boats.
I do like how it's like floating cargo, like there's just, like some ship there's just... boxes floating in the ocean. That's how they transport things. Oh no, the horses let the boxes go. Well, thank you all so much for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. This is the official scent of Paw Patrol. It smells like wet dog.